Good afternoon. We're starting a little bit late. We had to wait just a little bit to end up with a quorum. I'm happy to see all of you here today. I have a fairly large group of folks that are wishing to testify, and if you change your mind while you're sitting there thinking about maybe or maybe not, please grab one of these pink forms and get it up here to me. You may decide to testify, you know, a half hour from now or 2 hours from now. So that's fine. There's a great bookstore right outside the door. And as I told Peter Larson, the only book you'll ever miss is the one you didn't buy.
Mm.
So remember, as you go out, that and deposit some money. It's for combined charities. We're doing that all across state government this month. So help yourself.
You're not a friend of the public library, then?
I am a friend of the public library also.
Just asking.
And a good bookstore customer.
And a great bookstore, yeah. I love bookstores. I love used books. With that, I'll call the meeting to order. And let me dig out my agenda. Let us go then to adoption of the consent agenda, proposed agenda for October 18th, 2017 board minutes, and including the minutes of the July 19th board meeting.
The move approval.
Included in your packet as well as the agenda. There is a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
There is a second. All those in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. The motion carries. Let's start with introductions. Ed?
Ed Ellinger, Commissioner of Health.
John Saxhaug, citizen member from the Twin Cities.
Julie Gehring, citizen member from Moorhead.
Jerry Van Amberg, chair of the Board of Water and Soil Resources.
Tom Landwehr, Commissioner of Natural Resources.
Kate Knuth, citizen member from the Twin Cities.
I'm Leah Hedman. I'm an assistant attorney general, and I'm here representing the EQB board.
And I'm Dave Fredrickson. I serve as commissioner of agriculture and the chair of the environmental quality board.
Will Seifert, executive director of the EQB.
John Linkstein. I'm the commissioner of the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency.
Kristen A. Tollison, citizen member from Southeast Minnesota.
Shantira Hardy, commissioner from the Department of Employment and Economic Development.
Thank you. Let's move then. The chair's report is nothing, and so I will ask that the executive director, Will Seifert, to report.
Mr. Chairman, a couple updates here. As most of you know, the governor made appointments for four new members earlier this month. Those terms are effective on January 1st, and they're four-year terms. Just to remind everybody, all current citizen members serve through the expiration of their terms, but on January 1st, we're going to welcome the following four members to the board. Alan Forsberg from Congressional District 1, Kristen I.D. Tollison from Congressional District 2, and Kristen's is a reappointment. Julie Gehring from Congressional District 7, and since Julie was just appointed last year, her current appointment is rescinded, and she's reappointed for a four-year term starting in January. And then Brian Murdoch from Congressional District 8. And Brian actually joined us today, so Brian, if you want to wave, welcome to the board. Quick two staff updates. Courtney Ehlers-Nelson, who's our lead on environmental review issues, is out on maternity leave now, and that will go through April. So Denise Wilson, who is also here, she's standing up. So Denise is going to be here backfilling Courtney's role here for the next 6 months. So welcome back, Denise. And then Melissa Peck recently accepted the environmental review position that was vacated by Mark Riegel a couple months ago. And so Melissa brings a couple years of experience with environmental review to this role, along with project management and public outreach experience. So welcome to the team, Melissa. You're somewhere there. You're waving. All right. A quick note, I just want to first off thank all the board members who have participated in some or all of the 10 regional town halls that were part of the governor's 25 by 25 public engagement effort on water quality. We just concluded these earlier this month, with the last one being in Stillwater, Minnesota. These drew really, really large crowds and a lot of good ideas, good discussion. And I just want to thank thank the members, thank the public for participating, and also I just want to recognize, too, our staff, Katie Pratt and Kelly Scanlon, for their real hard work in setting all of these up. They were very successful, and I'm looking forward to the report out that's coming from the staff team. So thank you. Thank you, everybody, for your participation. The Governor's Committee on Pollinator Protection, just to remind the board that this committee has been meeting throughout the year working on policy recommendations and trying to identify how we can make progress on pollinator protection. Their next meeting is next Thursday, October 26th. They'll be doing some tours in the morning and meeting in the afternoon on the 26th. We have our Environmental Review Advisory Panel continues to chug along with their work, and they're now in the process of refining their recommendations. We will have a briefing for the board probably at our November meeting to update where we're at with the Environmental Review Advisory Panel. But just to remind you, their last meeting is in February, and then there'll be a report out with some recommendations at that point. The only other thing to remind folks of is we are scheduling a retreat to start a strategic planning process in January. We have Beth has circulated a little doodle poll. If you haven't filled it out, I won't call you out by name, but please maybe do so in the next couple days so we can get that on the calendar. Thank you.
Thank you, Will. We only have one item on the agenda, and it is as follows: request to terminate the Minnesota Sands LLC and or Minnesota Proprint Project Proposers LLC Multiple Site Environmental Impact Statement EIS for silica sand mines proposed by the project proposers in Fillmore, Houston, Winona counties, and the assignment of a responsible governmental unit RGU for the Environmental Assessment Worksheet EAW for the Minnesota Sands LLC and or Minnesota Proprint LLC proposed Dabblestein Mine Project in Fillmore County. I'd like to proceed with, we have two presenters. Eric Cedarleaf Dahl will present at this time, and then project proposer Mr. Rick Frick, or I think it's Rick. Or
Eric's going to do his presentation first. And
yep.
Then
yes, correct.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the board. I'm Eric Cedarleaf Dahl. Before I begin, I just wanted to point out a few things that were on your table and available over at the board or the table over here. And that's a March 1st letter that was inadvertently replaced with two copies of the August 25th affidavit. That is from Mr. Will Seufert. Looks like this, but it's a single copy at your table there, and they're available over here as well. And then an email from Fillmore County discussing RGU status, and then a map of the projects from 2013 that'll also be in my presentation. I just wanted to have that map available. And then we also received a letter from the Fillmore County attorney after the packet was sent out that's at your desks and available over here, and then emails from people that contacted EQB staff with opinions on the EIS and the proceedings today. So just a note that those are at your desks and available over here, and if you need any other copies, you can get those. So before you today is a decision item regarding the request to terminate Minnesota Sands multi-site EIS. So here's a map from 2013. 4.5 years ago, Minnesota Sands proposed 13 silica sand projects in multiple counties in southeast Minnesota as part of a regional network of mines and related facilities. When this issue came before the board in the spring of 2013, Minnesota Sands was seeking approvals in three different counties, Winona, Fillmore, and Houston. In response, the counties came to the board asking for the state to conduct environmental review. At the time, it was clear that the project proposer was planning to move forward with the broader network of projects that exceeded the mandatory EIS threshold. In 2013, the EQB board made a determination that a collection of proposed mine sites on the map in your packet that I just discussed and right here on the screen in three counties was subject to a phased action EIS, and that EQB should be the responsible government unit overseeing the EIS. Okay, in 2014, the EQB moved forward, entered into a contract with Minnesota Sands, and retained a project manager to prepare the EIS. However, no data submittal was ever transmitted to the EQB. No details about any of the sites were ever disclosed to the EQB, and no project was ever pursued. And therefore, no EIS was ever published. Meanwhile, at the local level, ordinances were enacted to limit and or regulate the extent of silica sand development. And the reason we're here today is because Minnesota Sands is requesting the board terminate the EIS order. The project proposer, Minnesota Sands, indicates they would like to move forward with one of the silica sand sites identified in the 2013 order and have stated they no longer have plans to pursue any operations in Winona, Houston, and Fillmore counties other than the Dabbleston mine in Fillmore County. Today, the board is being asked to consider the request by the project proposer to terminate the EIS and apply the statutory EAW threshold to the Dabbleston site. EQB staff has compiled facts and a chronology in your board packet to help the board make a decision based on applicable rules and statutes. So I will update you on the status of the project based on the facts provided to EQB staff by the project proposer and identify what rule parts apply. Minnesota Sands will then come forward and answer any questions you might have pertaining to their mine plan, and then you will be asked to make a determination if an EIS should be required pursuant to the 2013 EQB order. This slide lays out a chronology of EQB involvement with Minnesota Sands. These dates are all referenced in your packets. As you can see, over 4.5 years since the order was issued in March of 2013, no project has been proposed or presented to the EQB for review. In June of 2017, Minnesota Sands inquired about moving forward with the Dabbleston site in Fillmore County. Minnesota Sands was advised that this matter would have to be resolved by board action. On August 25th, 2017, Minnesota Sands submitted a formal request to terminate the EIS, and we put this decision item on the next available board agenda today. Staff asked the project proposer to put in writing his plans and address the status of each site identified from 2013. We asked the project proposer to be available to take questions at the board meeting so you can evaluate the request and make a determination. As I just indicated, EQB staff asked for an accounting of all the sites currently under lease with Minnesota Sands LLC and some explanation of the status and intent for each site. The affidavit is in your packet as Exhibit A. In the affidavit, where this table is located, Mr. Frick affirmed his intent to not move forward with any lease site except the Dabbleston mine in Fillmore County, and provided his explanations on the table. The affidavit is dated August 25th, 2017. Here's the list of sites originally identified in 2013, broken down by county, as well as the rationale that Minnesota Sands provided for not moving forward with these sites. As you can see, the rationale is slightly different for each county. In bold, at the bottom of the list, is the only project Minnesota Sands indicates it will pursue, the Fillmore-Dabbleston site. Okay, so there are four rules cited in the findings, and I'm going to quickly walk through them in the next couple slides because these are the rules you'll be asked to apply in relation to the facts in the findings. Okay. So the first one is the definition of project here on the screen. Environmental review applies to projects as defined here. I'll give you a moment to read project. According to Mr. Frick's August 25th affidavit, the only mine that meets this definition is the Dabbleston site. So the next rule is Minnesota Rule 4410-4400, subpart 9. This is a non-metallic mineral mining EIS threshold. To trigger an environmental impact statement or an EIS, the project needs to encompass more than 160 acres. Based on the facts that were provided to EQB, only 56 acres of one project is being proposed, the Dabbleston site in Fillmore County. And all of these rule parts are in your findings if you would like to read them there as well as the screen, or they're in the packet over there. Okay, so then This is Minnesota Statutes 116C.991. In statute, mine sites that exceed 20 acres meet the mandatory threshold for an environmental assessment worksheet, an EAW. To be clear, if there is no order for an EIS, this project would be subject to a mandatory EAW. Okay. And finally, this is the definition of phased action, which is two or more projects to be undertaken by the same proposer that an RGU determines will have environmental effects on the same geographic area and are substantially certain to be undertaken sequentially over a limited period of time. In 2013, there were multiple projects proposed, and this rule part was applied, triggering an EIS. The decision before you is, are there multiple projects that will have environmental effects in the same geographic area, and are the projects substantially certain to be undertaken sequentially over a limited period of time? Okay, so then the board decision, as the chair spoke of earlier, you're being asked by Minnesota Sands to terminate the EIS order because the facts have changed since 2013, and the project proposer has indicated that he is no longer pursuing a regional network of mines. Your decision, should you approve the findings and resolution in your packets, will change both, one, the level of environmental review performed on the Dabbleston site, an EAW instead of an EIS, and who performs the environmental review. Fillmore County, the local government, the RGU, would be the RGU instead of EQB. If the board terminates the EIS order as described in your packet, that means the thresholds in law and rule will apply, thereby assigning the EAW to the local government, in this case, Fillmore County, as I stated. This chart is another way of looking at the facts that have changed since the order made in 2013. And to be clear, this is based on the project as described by Minnesota Sands in the August 25th affidavit. The first column on my left that says 2013 decision, the project proposer said they were going to do in 2013, as well as the relevant information related to the 2013 decision. As you can see, they're proposing something very different in 2013 than they are now in 2017. What the project proposer is saying in 2017 is very different from what he was saying in 2013. And the local regulatory picture looks like today is also very different from 2013. Before concluding my presentation, I want to highlight some other facts that you should be aware of. While there is a Winona County ban, we recognize it is being challenged by Minnesota Sands, and their arguments made to the court seemingly contradict the plans laid out to EQB staff defining project as one singular site should the ban be overturned. We also note on this chart that there are active leases in both 2013 and 2017. It is our interpretation based on common application of our rule that leases are not projects. Should you have questions pertaining to either of these facts or any other questions about the plans of Minnesota Sands, please direct your questions to Mr. Frick and his representatives, who will be available after I finish presenting. The facts we were able to compile are all laid out in the findings. And so the recommendation, given the facts that were provided to EQB by Minnesota Sands and our application of the rules to these facts, the EQB staff believes there is only one project and therefore it is not a phased action and the EIS should be terminated. Statute would require an EAW on the Dabbleston project. This would effectively assign Fillmore County as the RGU as outlined in statute. And there are a couple things I'd like to make clear before we move into a discussion. There is a look back for phased and connected actions, and commonly EQB staff applies this as 3 years. Should Minnesota Sands move forward with any other projects if they exceed 160 acres in combination with the Dabbleston site, this will trigger a mandatory EIS. The state has a technical resources available to support local governments. In this case, should Fillmore County seek support on the EAW, there is a silica sand technical assistance team available. As has been done in the past, EQB has the authority to redesignate RGU status for projects. And to be clear, the purpose of environmental review is to better understand a project and mitigate its potential impacts. If a project is not proposed, it is unclear what would be studied and how environmental review would be performed. Unless you have questions about the applicability of rules or the chronology, I would like to turn this over to Minnesota Sands for questions.
Actually, I think we do have questions.
Okay, sure.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Eric, the look back, can you talk a little bit more about the look back?
Well, hold on 1 second. What would you specifically and I'd like to know related to the
look back? 3-year look back?
The 3-year look back or limited period of time is not defined in rules. It's commonly interpreted by EQB staff as 3 years. A limited period of time is in common practice done as 3 years.
So if we knew going into a project that triggered a mandatory EIS, we'd do the EIS before the project was initiated. But we could have a situation where a project does not require an EIS, begins work sometime after that, expands that work, and all of a sudden it hits a level at which a mandatory EIS will be triggered. But in the interim, we've had the impacts from that initial project that would now ostensibly require an EIS. Is that the way that that works?
I believe so, yes.
Okay. Mr. Chair.
John.
Eric, do you have an example, or have you among the staff discussed a situation where we've applied that 3-year look back?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Commissioner Stein, off the top of my head, I don't have one. I can get an example to you, or perhaps someone else on the board may have an example.
I don't recall one. That's why I'm asking.
Yeah.
Mr. Chair, Commissioner Stein, we had a discussion with Artie Offit with respect to groundwater appropriation permits, and in evaluating the need for discretionary EIS, we looked back 3 years at the number of permit requests they'd had in the past. So that's a fairly recent one.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Further questions?
Mr. Chair.
John.
So, Eric, just in obtaining information from the project proponent in this matter, can you describe the interaction? Were the requests for information fully responded to, or do you have any comments relative to information that was not submitted by the applicant based on requests that you made, either verbal requests, email, or otherwise?
Mr. Chair, Commissioner Stein, most of the requests were responded to in a timely manner. We're unclear on the acreages of the other sites from 2013. We didn't really gain much clarity in conversations with the project proposer.
Thanks.
Tom?
Sure.
I'm going to go over to Matt and then back to you, Tom.
Can you just clarify for me the active lease term and what that means?
Yeah.
What is an active lease?
Mr. Chair, Member Mossman, I would have you direct that question to the project proposer. I'm unclear.
Tom?
Eric, so what constitutes a project, and why is this a project versus other previously proposed?
And then just move back to the rule here that, you know, project means a governmental action, the results of which would cause physical manipulation of the environment directly or indirectly. So a project is, there's all sorts of things that can cause a governmental action, applying for a permit, something like that.
So is the permit application what triggers the definition of a project?
I think that's one example of what triggers the definition of a project.
A lease would not be a definition of a project.
I don't think there's a commissioner. I don't think
there's not a government action.
Government action related to that.
Kristen.
Mr. Chair, Eric, I was looking for letters from the local governments who initially asked us to act on this. And am I correct that there were two that we got today from Fillmore County? And could you summarize? I didn't have any other letters from local governments in my packet. Is that correct?
Mr. Chair, Member Tollefson, if you give me a moment, I can look through my packet. There's 170-odd pages. But, yes, we received the letter today from the Fillmore County attorney. And then I included that the email from the Fillmore County planning director, Crystal Adkins, the zoning administrator, excuse me. I don't believe that there are any else in the packet.
And Mr. Chair, and you haven't received anything from Winona County that you know of. I mean, okay. And could you summarize the letters briefly?
Sure.
That we received today. I don't know that everybody got it.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair, Ms. Tollefson. The letter from Crystal Adkins is saying, in speaking with Commissioner Dahl and Commissioner Baking, not me, it sounds as though they believe that Fillmore County should be the RGU, knowing that the EQB Silica Sand Technical Assistance Team is available for review. That's the email. And then the Fillmore County attorney letter we literally got right before the board meeting occurred, and so I have not had a chance to review it. So if I could have a moment to read it, otherwise I would have a hard time summarizing what the letter says.
You'll be on deck to do that, though?
Yes, I can definitely.
Unless there's someone else too. Okay, thanks.
Further questions? Seeing none, Eric, if you just kind of hang loose.
Yes, review this letter.
Looser the better, probably.
Okay.
And I'd ask Mr. Rick Frick to come on up with your representatives, Rick, if you wish. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
You were kind enough to wave me into the parking spot this morning, so I appreciate that this afternoon. Do you have counsel with you? You're more than welcome to have them come up and join you.
If they have to answer questions, yeah.
Okay. Either way.
I just want to thank everybody for your time.
Thanks for being here. Maybe identify yourself for the record.
I'm Richard Frick. I'm CEO of Minnesota Sands. And I was in front of you guys 2-3 years ago with their Tracy Erickson deal, and just to tell you, I did everything I said I was going to do then. So any questions, I'll answer them for you. Any questions, I'll answer.
John?
Thank you, Mr. Frick, for coming today, and I appreciate your time. I wanted to ask you, on your affidavit, you used a term that I'm not sure that I'm clear on your some of your leased properties in Fillmore County. You use the term a lack of business justification as to the reason that you're not going to be pursuing a mining operation. When that differs from market conditions, which you talked about up in Houston County. I understand where Houston County's ordinance is at, and I'm aware of that. But I just wanted to see what the difference when you describe the lack of business justification means when you use that term.
Basically, what I'm saying is the market has switched from the bigger gradation of sand to the smaller gradation of sand, so the sand in Houston County is not in demand. And what I have up in that area is.
So the Fillmore County sand would be marketable, you're saying?
Yes, the market hasn't come back yet, but we're hoping that it might come back.
But it could be marketable.
It could, yep.
Yep, I understand. My other question is, just as far as your ownership, You said you were the CEO of the company Minnesota Sands?
Yes.
Do you have other owners that are part of an ownership group?
There are other people in with me on this.
Do you want to disclose the ownership group?
No, all I can say is they're average people like me. They're hardworking people. They work a job every week. There's no millionaires in on this, nothing. They're just average people that I've known my whole life.
And you operate as the chief executive of that group?
Yes, I try to do most of this by myself.
Understood. My other question then is on your description on your of the properties, and I wanted to get into the Dabbleshein site just on its own for a second, because I'm unclear what, if you were to develop that mine and it proceeds, what's your plan for use of the sand? Do you have contracts where that sand would be delivered? Is it in Minnesota? Is it in other states?
If we can get a permit, we have no place to process this yet. We're looking into that, but to be totally honest with you, haven't got that far because I don't have a permit yet.
I see.
And the Permian in Texas is where the demand is right now.
All right.
And that more than likely, if we do find a place, it's going to be out of state for processing.
And that, to the best, I mean, let's just, if you can indulge me for a second, because I'm sure you think about this, if it happened and you were to have to haul the sand somewhere, would you haul it south or east, or what's, do you have a?
We got a number of options. They have to be permitted to do this to begin with. There's some permanent spots in Minnesota. There's permanent spots in Iowa, Wisconsin, whatever. But honestly, we have no idea where we're going with it yet. We thought about it, yes, but it all goes back to having that permit. If I don't have that permit, it doesn't pay to dwell on it.
Okay. And then I wanted to ask just, have you terminated any of your leases for any reason on any of your 13 sites?
I can't remember. See, I have no leases in Houston County because when I was here with the Tracy Erickson thing, I terminated that lease because he could get his permit back. And other than that, my leases are set up where it doesn't cost me nothing.
Yeah, and I wanted to ask you about that just so I was clear on how you entered into the leases that you entered into, because people have a lot of questions, and I just want to understand it for myself. You entered into the lease arrangement with the property owner, and there was an initial payment that was made.
Yes.
On your part. And then, as I understand your lease, it will payments will commence if and when there's mining operations that occur. Is that correct?
Yes, they're set up to, I have 2 years after the permit comes good to do anything.
I see. And what are the, are there any reasons that any of the property owners other than Mr. Erickson have asked for, you know, reconsideration of the lease?
Nope, absolutely not. Ironically, if you guys know me, you don't know me, but these people became good friends of mine. I mean, they're just average people too. They have an opportunity to make some money.
Okay. I want to talk a little bit, Mr. Chair, if it's all right, if I keep asking questions, because I have a lot of them.
Go ahead.
Thank you.
I don't see any other hands up. So.
Thank you. I just wanted to talk a little bit about the situation with Winona County, because I think you and your group, I assume your ownership group, decided to pursue an appeal or a lawsuit regarding the county's ordinance, and I wanted to be clear on there are many comments that have come in saying that you're contradicting yourself, and I want to just give you the chance to say why you're doing both things, because I don't want to just put it in my words. I want you to describe it for us, please.
Absolutely. The Winona County ban is in place. Yes, I filed a lawsuit to overturn that. but I have no idea when this is going to happen, if it happens at all. This could drag out for years. I can't foresee into the future. If that ban gets overturned and if there's a market yet at that time, then we'll deal with it then. But right now, I can't. That's hypothetically speaking. The ban's in place, and for all I know, it might never get turned over. It might be 3 to 5 years. I have no idea. But that's my reasoning why I'm doing it.
Thank you. So let me just, because it's hypothetical, and I agree with you, it's we're speculating or being hypothetical in a way. Let's say the ban is overturned and no one appeals, and you or we're able to move forward. What's your highest best hope for, you know, would you?
I can't answer that. I just hypothetically, I have no idea the timeline. If the market is going to be, I can't answer that. If I could, I would, but I can't.
Thank you. I also wanted to but it does sound, I mean, I don't want to put words in your mouth, so I want you to tell me if this is true. If the market were favorable, you would develop more mine sites and you would process sands closer to your mine sites. Is that correct?
I can't say that either. I hate to beat a dead horse, but I have no idea when this is going to happen. I could be dead before this happens. I mean, I can't say. I love to answer your question, but I can't foresee into the future. I have no idea what the market's going to be. Who knows? 2 years, they might find something else for this. I have no idea.
Mr. Chair, this might be time. We have some court transcriptions from the Winona County Court Challenge. Where did these come from? They're on the table when we got
Eric,
here.
Can you?
Yep. Mr. Chair, Member, Commissioner Landwehr, those were included in the packet as part of the packet of.
Are these public documents?
They were emailed to EQB.
Are they public documents?
They must be.
Yes.
They are public documents.
The court documents.
I'm looking at the one.
Who's going to answer that question?
I'm looking at the one from.
Mr. Chair, I can answer that question because I provided those documents today if you'd like me to.
Yeah, please. Welcome,
Jay. Thank you. Jay Squires, Rupp Anderson Squires, Wellsburger, representing Winona County and the lawsuits that have been mentioned. I've signed up to testify, so I'll save that testimony for later. But I provided those documents. They are from the court file, so they are public record, and I intend to talk about them in my testimony.
Okay. Thank you. I've had a chance to flip through them a little bit here, and I guess, in response to the discussion that was just going on, Mr. Fricker, the document I'm looking at right now is your affidavit, and on page 11 of that, one of the questions apparently was with respect to if the county ban was lifted, what would you do? And the affidavit says if the ban on mining of silica sand for use as a propane is lifted, Minnesota Sands intends to mine all of its leased properties in Winona County as soon as practicable upon completion of required environmental review and permitting requirements. So that's your statement, I believe, isn't it?
I've never said that. I don't know. I guess I'd have to ask Bill about that, but I've never give a statement to nobody. I don't talk to anybody. That might have been from somebody else involved, but that was not me. I've never said that.
Okay, it was dated July 24, 2017, with your signature on it.
Minnesota Sands.
Wow. Yeah. I don't remember saying that. To my knowledge, I don't remember that.
Mr. Chair.
John.
Mr. Frick, just wanted to get clear on your intentions now. You came before the board with a request after conversation with the staff, and that happened in August. Walk me through what your expectations are for developing the site. What would your plan be? If let's assume that the board were favorable to your request, that you'd then get released from the EIS, and then what would you do? What would your steps be after that? What
I would go forward with applying for a permit, Fillmore County, and do the EAW and turn it in. Mm-hmm. And then from there, we'd have to wait and see if it was granted, and then the next steps would be finding a place to process it.
Your hope would be to operate the mine in 2018, or what
yeah.
are you thinking? Okay. That's all for now, Mr. Chair.
Please.
Mr. Sure. Chairman. Mr. Frick, you mentioned somewhere in here, I think you said that you were going to be going from in the project on the Dabbleston from 37 acres to 50 acres in this, and you said you were doing that because that would improve the reclamation.
Yes.
Can you tell us how will that improve the reclamation?
John could answer that better than me, but the reason we're doing that vein that comes out or deposit that comes out, we do the whole thing instead of part of it. You'd have it so it'd all be at one level. It's hard to tell you without cartography or the maps, the layouts. It did bring it all down to Roger's field level so he could farm all of it. But that's why we do the whole thing. So he's benefiting from that vein is roughly just under 49, 50 acres. It's right there. And the reason we would do that is just to benefit him. And naturally, we sell the sand out of it.
Mr. Chair, another question I had was you... if you were to have the lawsuit overturned in Winona, and you started to operate then in the areas over there, to mine those areas, in your mind, does that trigger an EIS then?
Oh, absolutely. We've always followed the Minnesota laws and regulations. If something has to be done, I will follow the laws and regulations. I can't go with that abandoned place. I can't go there and say, give me a permit. That ain't going to happen. I know that. And like I said, it's a future. If it works out, absolutely. But I can't speculate on anything because I don't know what's going to happen. But we definitely will follow all the laws and regulations.
On those mines, or the mine that you're planning on working on, the Dabbleston, if you go ahead and work that area, the 50 acres that you're looking at, if there's not a market for the frac sand, would you go ahead and be mining that for construction purposes?
We could mine it for construction. We could mine it for cow bedding. We could sell it for glass.
Okay, that's all, Chairman.
Thank you, Matt and
Kate. So actually, just the last question and answer actually helps me. When we start talking about sand, I start thinking about going on vacation. So you need to help me understand sand a little bit here.
It's all
You mentioned that the Dabbleston site is a smaller grain sand, right?
Yes.
So help me, and like in Houston County, it's a finer or bigger grain sand. So what are some of the kind of market uses for the Fillmore County sand that you're looking at now?
Basically, just what I answered the other gentleman, it's a finer sand.
Mm-hmm.
It's, I don't know how to say this, 2 years ago, EOG is one of your frac companies, come up with a new recipe for fracking wells.
Mm-hmm.
And it uses a lot more sand, but it uses the finer sand. It's hard to explain, but when you're drilling down for oil, it's a shale deposit. So it's like shelves. And when you go in there, you're pushing that sand in to crack that shale, and that sand will get in the cracks to hold them open to let your natural gas and oil out.
Mm-hmm.
And the finer sand is way stronger than the bigger sand. And they're using the finer because it's working better, so they're using a lot more of it, but they're producing 45% more oil right from the start. So where there was normally five wells, you'll have one well now because of the horizontal drilling, and it's just way more efficient.
So then the bigger grain sand in like Houston County, which you said there wasn't much use of now, is that just used on roads, or what other uses are there?
Or fill sand, cow bedding again. The Fillmore sand, that level is St. Peter's stone.
Mm-hmm.
That's the highest level. And then you got your dolomite or limestone, and then underneath that you'll have Jordan sand. That's roughly 1050 to 1100 feet. 1150, and that Jordan sand, which is the bigger gradation of 2040, 4070, that'll be all of that. Your 2040 in the Jordan sand will run 55 to 60%,
mm-hmm.
and that was the big demand because of the and it's clean too. But then you go down your other layers with dirt and then limestone again down to the 900 to 950, 930. That's Waniwok.
Mm-hmm.
That's a bigger gradation too, but it also has the smaller gradation. But that's, if you guys are familiar with I-90 going down La Crosse,
mm-hmm.
are you familiar? Where Ames took all that sand out of there, right. That was Waniwok. That's over on La Crescent on Miller Corner.
Yep.
They piled all that sand up there. But that sand ain't as hard as the St. Peter. The St. Peter is extremely hard.
And then how does the sand in some of the Winona County mines compare to the Fillmore County sand?
It's all the same formation.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. That's helpful.
John. Oh, I'm sorry. Kate.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Mr. Frick. So going into the nuance of sand and the different uses of the different kinds of it, you have several other leases in Fillmore County. Why just the Dabbleston mine? What's the difference between the lack of business justification at those other lease sites that you have versus the one that you're talking about doing the EAW for?
Because that's the closest to a highway. It's at the beginning of a deposit. It's most efficient to mine. Basically, make it real simple, it's the cheapest place to go.
And so those other active leases in Fillmore County where they don't have a ban currently, if you added up all of those leases with the one that you're talking about that the market conditions warrant, how much acreage would that create?
I think it's in your pamphlet.
I think. Sorry, I don't have my packet memorized. There's a lot of pages here.
It's got to be between 140 to 200 acres, I think, somewhere in there.
Okay.
I'm not totally positive. I haven't looked at it in a while. And John Dustman could answer that, too.
We have some technical difficulty. We're committed to make sure this is live cast. We only have audio at this point, so I'd like to take a few minutes. Mm-hmm. Break, if that's all right, while we address the technical issue to get it.
And just to clarify, the meeting is being recorded, and the archive will be put online immediately. The challenge, though, is it's because it wasn't initiated properly, it's not being broadcast right now. So we're just going to take a two-minute break so that IT staff can reset it, and then we'll continue there.
Sorry to interrupt. I'd prefer it happen, you know, when you were complete. If it's all right, just talk amongst yourself. Video is up and operational at this point, so we will continue. Are there further questions for Mr. Frick?
Yes. Mr. Chair.
John?
Thank you. Just a couple more questions that I'm thinking about. Are you pursuing additional leases in the area at this time, or have you discontinued that?
No, I haven't considered or pursued any leases since Houston County.
Okay, so the list of leases in Exhibit A that we have, which is 1, 2, 3, 4. Five in Houston County, 2, 4, 6 in Winona, 2, 4, 5, and Fillmore, that's all your lease.
Well, and leases in Houston County are done.
They existed.
So they, you said that earlier. You terminated those leases.
Terminated.
Okay. All right. Then the I'm just a little I want to follow up on the acreages of your lease properties in Fillmore County. If you could describe those. I don't know if you know the acreages off the top of your head, but I would really like to know, just for the sake of trying to figure out in processing future actions with the county on who could become the RGU for EAWs, when it would trigger an EIS. And so I don't know if you can articulate the acreages of your leases at the Boyum site.
I think it's around 40-something.
Okay, and Swigum's property?
That is probably going to be right around the same, because he's only letting us do part of his property.
Okay. And
Dave Wadowitz's would probably be roughly in that same category.
About 40 plus or minus acres. Okay, and then the Kessler property?
The Kessler property on the Fillmore side, that might be 25.
Okay. And so, you've got a 50 plus or minus acres on Mr. Dabblestein's property. So I just wanted to be sure that, Mr. Chair, as we look at potential for an EIS being required just in the Fillmore County sites, how many of those sites it might add up to. And Eric, I just want to be clear what the threshold is again on the record, if you could be... If you could answer that question for me.
Mr. Chair, Commissioner Stein, the threshold for an EAW is 20 acres. The threshold for an EIS is 160 acres.
Okay.
And I was adding those up here.
Right. So it would really, an EIS, if they were all plus or minus Mr. Frick's description, it'd have to be almost all five sites, maybe.
You have 200.
Got about 200 acres there, so cool. One of the sites minus one of the sites would still trigger an EIS. Thank you. That's my questions, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Chair,
please, John.
Mr. Frick, I guess maybe I wasn't paying attention when the question was asked on your affidavit number 64, where it says if the ban on mining of silica sand for use as a propant is lifted, Minnesota Sands intends to mine all of its lease properties at Winona County as soon as practical upon completion of the required environmental review and permitting requirements. You're saying that's not true.
Now that you said it the way you did, yeah. I said after the EIS, we would mine them all. But we're not doing the environmental impact because there's a ban on Winona County.
But if it's lifted, you're saying here that you will mine them as soon as practical.
But you'd have to do the EIS before you do anything.
Right. Yes, I understand that.
Yes. And I didn't understand the way you said it. Sorry about that. I thought you asked me that I was just going to go mine them all, not unless the environmental impact is done. And that's my argument here today, is there's a ban on Winona County. As far as I'm concerned, them are off the table. This could be years before that ever even comes back into it even happening, or it might never happen.
Further questions? Jerry?
Mr. Chair, Mr. Frick, I wonder a little bit about the impacts of the mining and how you go about. I'm sorry, I'm a newbie. I wasn't here earlier when a lot of this was talked about. And so I may be plowing same old ground, I'm not sure. But I read somewhere about flocculants. You're using the...
We are not processing on-site.
You don't do any processing on-site?
No processing. I think we can dry screen, that's it. There'll be no flocculants, there'll be no washing there. It's right in Fillmore County's ordinance. We can't do anything there but mine the sand.
And what is your understanding of what the impact of just a mining might be?
The DOT has, Fillmore County has their ordinance all in place. So many trucks a day, so many hours a day, whatever them ordinances are, that's what we have to follow.
Okay.
Mr. Chair.
Kristen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do have one more question about in that same affidavit that Mr. Saxog just cited, you talk about the most recent, that you have a purchase agreement that was executed in May 12th, 2017 for two sites for a transloading facility, one in St. Charles Township and the other, I guess both in St. Charles Township. And you also mention in your complaint to the court about the Winona ban that that this is an important piece of your business plan. And I think, and could you tell us more about why the transload facility is important to you?
As far as selling the sand or moving the sand?
Whatever you say.
Yes, it's because we have to mine it and take it somewhere, have it washed and dried down to probably a 0.5%, and then load it on a rail car and sent to the Permian, the Bakken, wherever. We do have a contract, but I cannot fill it right now because I don't have sand to move.
And so a transload facility would make the larger number of mines that you're...
Well, no, it all depends on the size of that transload. You might only be able to load a unit train there one a week. You might be able to load two a week. We haven't got that far down the line. We've looked and we've talked to people, but we still haven't put anything in writing because it all goes back, I don't have a permit.
Mm-hmm.
I can go talk to people till I'm blue in the face. They're not going to listen to me unless I have sand to move, and I have no sand to move right now.
Thank you.
Yep.
Ed?
Mr. Chair, Mr. Frick, the Winona case, your suit with our case with Winona, there'll be an answer coming relatively soon. What are your plans following that, given the decision one way or the other? If it rules in your favor or rules against you, what were your plans in either
case?
It
all depends. I'm almost guaranteeing you somebody's going to repeal it. So that's going to drag this out another year or two. If we would rule in our favor, Winona's going to repeal it. And if it rules in their favor, we're going to repeal it. So there again, I have no idea what the timeline is on that. In 2 years, like I said, maybe they come up with something, maybe we're burning water for fuel. I have no idea. But I can't answer that because I don't know.
So you're planning to continue on with the effort as much as you can to move forward to get permits.
But I can't answer you if it's ever going to happen.
Further questions, Commissioner?
No, that's it. Thank you.
Further questions? If not, thank you, Mr. Frick. There's a significant amount of folks that are interested in testifying. I'm going to ask Mr. Squires if you would like to lead off.
Thanks for your time.
Thank you, and hopefully you'll be around.
Yes,
okay,
absolutely.
Very good.
Before I go into public testimony, could I perhaps ask a question of counsel?
Sure.
Given that there is pending litigation, does an action that we take today have any bearing with respect to that pending litigation?
Legal counsel, Leah Hedman.
thank you, Chair. Right now, the matter is under advisement with a district court judge, and so the matter is based upon the facts and circumstances presented to that district court judge and what the matter is before her. However, you know, will the EQB decision, if there is one today, you know, influence her? That's certainly a possibility. You know, I can't speak to, you know, really whether or not that is going to occur. But right now, I've checked, and the matter is still under advisement with the court. And so that has, we have not had a render decision from that court. That's what I can tell you.
And under advisement means she's looking at the record and we'll make a bench ruling at some point?
Thank you. Yes, Commissioner Landwehr, under advisement means that the judge is going to take all the affidavits, all the information, all the argument of counsel and memorandum, as well as oral arguments, and take that all into consideration and decide the matter before her. If there were to be a discussion of some sort by the EQB, one of the counsel that is, you know, involved in that matter or, you know, unrepresented party could present that information by letter to the judge while it's pending and inform her, which I imagine would happen. But, again, this is uncertainty, but it is likely that I think that would get back to her if that's helpful to you.
And thank you for that. One additional question is the judge does not operate under a timeline, correct? And so is there any sense of what when a ruling might come?
Thank you, Chair. And Commissioner Landwehr, actually they do. Judges have 90 days to issue their decision. To my knowledge, just reading the registration of actions, it appears that this was argued, and then it looks like memoranda was submitted later on August 21st. Once the case is fully submitted, the clock starts running. So it's a period of 90 days from that date. So I'm not involved in that litigation. I'm not present there, but it appears that once the matter is what we call fully submitted, then the clock starts running. So it appears something was submitted on the 8/21.
Thank you.
So, in other words, you could anticipate a ruling within the next 90 days?
The next 30 days.
Or 30 days.
November 21.
Yeah,
11/21.
Yep. Mr. Chair, and given that, do we have the option as a board to table this motion until that case gets resolved in Winona County? Would that be one of the options available to us?
Ms. Hedman?
Yes, certainly tabling is an option. There's many options open to the board.
All right. Answers satisfactory? You have more questions, Tom?
Mr. Chair, I'm just wondering if...
you have that, you know, wrinkle.
I do, because I'm wondering if we need board discussion, if it would be beneficial to have board discussion before we go to public testimony.
Mr. Chair,
I would like to hear from Mr. Squires, and then after that, I think maybe we might be able to maybe kick it around a little bit more. Yeah, Mr. Squires.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the board. Jay Squires again with Rep. Anderson Squires, Wellsburg. If you'd like me to, I can answer some of the questions about the lawsuit that was posed, and if the board then would like to have a procedurally based discussion, I can save my substantive comments too until after you've had that discussion, if you prefer that.
I would prefer substance over procedure any day, since you put it that way.
Well, how about if I give you both?
All right.
He offered procedure over substance, I believe, Mr. Chair.
I heard that correctly.
I was just
loose at Department of Ag.
I was focusing on the comments about querying whether the board should have a discussion, a procedurally based discussion, and I think the answers that I can have to the lawsuit question, since I'm involved, might assist you in that discussion. So I'll at least start off with that, and if you want to tell me to shut up about the substance while you have that discussion, I'd be happy to do that.
Okay.
Again, I'm representing Winona County. There are actually two lawsuits in district court pending, one brought by an organization called Southeast Minnesota Property Owners, but the second one is brought by Minnesota Sands directly as the plaintiff. They're largely common. They're a little bit different in terms of the takings claim, and what a takings claim is an allegation you so heavily regulated our property that you've taken it and we're entitled to a whole pot of money. And that's a claim that really has very much bearing on this proceeding because the landowner's expectations and intentions are very important, and that's really what's at issue here in this proceeding. And the board's 2013 order has a great impact on the judge's pending decision, which presents concerns to me. But that is just in terms of the questions about the status. It was argued on October 3rd, and we do expect a decision by the end of the year.
So really the court has all those issues about the taking, including the intentions of the landowner, before it. So I certainly think there is a strong argument that, much like the legislature doesn't like to tinker with laws while a court is considering a case involving the laws, I think this board, in considering whether it should tinker with its or change its 2013 order, should recognize and be sensitive to the fact that the court has the Winona County case in its possession and will be issuing a ruling. And if that decision is adverse to the county and overturns the county's ordinance amendment, then absent some sort of injunction from the court, Minnesota Sands would be free to pursue their plans. So that's an important fact as well. So that's the nature of the suit, and if you'd like me to go into some of the substantive things I wanted to raise today, I'd be happy to, or I'd be happy Please. To just defer. Okay, going into the substance, the request that Mr. Frick and Minnesota Sands have made today is largely, in my judgment, based on what they allege to be changed circumstances, that the board should revisit and terminate its 2013 order because things are different today than they were 4.5 years ago. So that begs the question, what do they say is different? And I think they say two things are different. One, their intentions have changed. They have no present plans other than to focus on just the one mine in Fillmore County, the Dabbleston one. And just for clarity, you'll know there's a Dabbleston one in Winona, too. So it's always important to say Dabbleston Fillmore, which is the mine. So they claim their intentions have changed and that the mining market has changed. And as I think the board has already ferreted out, and the reason I gave those pleadings to the board is that that the information that has been provided to the EQB directly in conjunction with a request for termination of the EIS, I think is directly at odds with the position that Minnesota Sands has taken in the lawsuit, because it has to take a contrary position. It has to say, to support its takings claims, that it has every expectation and belief and intention to pursue these activities. And in the affidavit that Mr. Frick signed, when his initial answer was, "I didn't say that," well, yes, that's your signature in an affidavit, and you did say that in court. He said directly to the contrary after being posed with that, initially suggesting that he didn't know what the plans are. The plans are clear and became clear in the lawsuit that there is a plan to pursue the Winona County projects. In Winona alone, there are over 1,000 acres, so far in excess of the EIS mandatory threshold requirement. A question was asked of Mr. Frick as well, Commissioner Stein that asked the question, is this Exhibit A all your properties? And Mr. Frick answered, yes, that's not true. If you look at the affidavit of Mr. Frick as well, and when asked a further question about the properties, in May of 2017, two additional properties were put under contract by Mr. Frick to acquire land for a transload facility. Generally, the way that these operations work, if you picture a wheel and you picture the various mines at the end of the spokes, the transload facility would be the spoke or the gear in the middle. So that really is related. And that fact alone really reinforces the board's 2013 order that this was a related action, that all these mines are related together and part of a larger integrated project. When in May of 2017, Minnesota Sands is putting under contract the spoke or the hub of the wheel of all these other facilities in the various counties that are all located within 12.5 miles of each other. So changed circumstances. The only changed circumstance is that the intention hasn't changed. We know that from the submittals and the materials. The market hasn't changed because, contrary to what Mr. Frick says in his affidavit to the EQB, that the market isn't good anymore, look at the affidavits and the materials I've submitted where the position is the market is robust, it's come back, he's poised and has a standing order for all the sand from these mines. And he even referenced that today as well, contrary to the affidavit. So the suggestion that your decision from 2013 should be changed because of changed circumstances, no changed circumstances, no facts to support a change in intention, a change in the scope of the related project, or a change in the market that would dictate that it's not reasonably likely that these activities would occur. So before you, and it's your council's job to give you the options and for you to discuss the options, but I think you have a number of them. One is based on the record before you, simply deny the request and ask yourself, since you issued your order 4.5 years ago, what has changed? If you conclude nothing has changed, there's no basis for you to turn around and change the order. 4.5 years ago, this board directed the preparation of an EIS. The project proposer failed to meet that obligation, and nothing has changed, and that order should remain the same. The second option I think that the board has alluded to is at least defer the matter until a decision of the court is issued, which is intertwined with the issue that's before the court here. The letter from Mr. Corson, the Fillmore County attorney, suggests that as well, and I would concur with his letter and that recommendation. The third option would be to, if the board would allow the Fillmore Dabbleston mine to move forward, make clear in the order that the 2013 order requiring an EIS on the balance of the related project remains in place. And I don't think that that is addressed by the current proposed resolution from staff. The other option, and this is really an option for Mr. Frick, is a you can't have your cake and eat it too option. If there are all these other parts of the related action that are still in place, Mr. Frick is always free to terminate his agreements he has and sever those individual pieces from the larger project and then pursue a request to be able to move forward and be released from the EIS order of this board. That's within his control. And as some of the board members who were on the board recall, the Erickson mine in Houston County is the prototype for that. Mr. Frick, as he mentioned today, severed his relationship and the lease with Mr. Erickson in Houston County and asked this board then to release that property from the auspices of the EIS order, and this board did that. If Mr. Frick similarly would sever his relationships on all these other properties and then have leases in place that do not meet the threshold, that's something that's available to him, not necessarily this board, but it's another option where he has control of being able to accomplish what he wishes without the drastic request of asking this board to simply turn around and reverse its order from 4.5 years ago when nothing has changed. Just a couple comments, and I'll wrap up on staff's some questions that were raised by staff. Staff made a comment to you that active leases, in their judgment, are not projects under the rules. And it's not the active leases, it's the plans for the project, the intentions of the proposer. So back in 2013, Mr. Frick didn't have a whole series of applications in the hopper in all the counties to actually pursue that related project. It's just that that was on the table that the board concluded an EIS should be done before that process would move forward. So it's the intention to pursue the integrated related project that is the project under definition of project in the EQB rules. And again, all the information in the record that and in these pleadings that I've provided to the board indicate that that intention remains unchanged. So the project is exactly the same as it was in 2013. And then I've addressed the acreages as well. I believe, I'm not representing Fillmore County, but in the past I've looked at the acreages. Mr. Frick gave you some off-the-cuff thoughts on what those acreages are. I would strongly encourage you to actually look those up and try to get those because I think those are understated. As I mentioned, Winona County alone is 1,000 acres, but if you look in the affidavit of Mr. Dustman, who's Mr. Frick's consultant, at paragraph 19, the collective acreage owned by Minnesota Sands is over 3,500 acres. And if Winona County accounts for a little over 1,000, that leaves a whole lot more on the table than a couple hundred. So I think those were not accurately stated as well. So I'd stand open for any questions that the board has on the lawsuit or on statements, affidavits that have been submitted, positions that have been taken.
Questions for Mr. Squires?
Mr. Chair.
John?
Mr. Squires, I know I met you before, and I've had an
yes.
opportunity to work with you many times. I just yes. want to be clear on your relationship with Winona County. If you could describe that, please.
Yes, I do work for the Minnesota County's Intergovernmental Trust, and when a county that is a member of that has been sued, they will assign defense counsel to work with the county in the lawsuit. So I have been assigned to represent Winona County in both of the lawsuits that are pending in district court. I was not involved directly with the county prior to the initiation of the suits. They spent over 2 years studying their regulations, and I was not involved with them in that respect.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair. Ms. Squires, I think you had some involvement with the Erickson mine, as I recall seeing your name
Correct.
On some of those, and that's neither here nor there. But I wanted to ask you with respect to the lawsuit. So 90 days from August 21st, give or take, you're saying by the end of the year you expect a ruling?
Yes, we expect a ruling before the end of the year.
And I presume that ruling is appealable?
It is.
By
yep.
multiple
Either party.
Parties? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And how long of a period of time does any party have to appeal after the decision?
60 days.
So if in fact it happened by December 31st, we would know by end of February whether or not an appeal was filed, correct?
Correct.
Thank you.
Other questions?
Mr. Chair, Mr. Squires, you mentioned that somewhere in the affidavit it talks about the market for frac sand. And I haven't had time to look at this. I wonder if you could point out where that is.
Paragraph 48 of the affidavit. In late 2016, 2017, the silica sand market has drastically improved and is forecast to remain very strong for this foreseeable future.
Thank you.
And then again in the submission, in the discovery responses, at page 12, in response to our discovery request, interrogatory number 9 is where Mr. Frick also says, and I think I've highlighted that for the board's attention there on page 12, if you have that in the longer document, at the end of the first long paragraph at the top, the last sentence, again stating the silica sand market has dramatically improved and is forecast to remain very strong for the foreseeable future. And then in that following paragraph, as I had referenced earlier, Minnesota Sands has a standing offer to execute a binding long-term purchase order for silica sand. So that's where that's stated. And this, again, is their discovery response and is attested by Minnesota Sands and Mr. Frick.
Other questions? Matt?
Just for clarity, Mr. Squires, could you talk about what you see as the county's options, Winona County's options, if the board today were to agree with Mr. Frick's request or approve Mr. Frick's request, the court rules in favor of Mr. Frick in the lawsuit, what would be the county's options vis-a-vis going forward?
Well, if you release Mr. Frick from the EIS and the court concludes that the ordinance amendment is not an impediment, then we have a whole different playing field and world than if there was still an obligation to do the EIS, which he would be required to do before engaging in a permit process. So it vitally affects the process. To be candid, as I mentioned, the issue of Mr. Frick's intentions bears on the taking, and the presence of the 2013 order has a direct impact on the validity of their claims in a taking. So if this board, in my judgment, were to reverse its order, it potentially would have a murkying effect on the litigation and potentially a significant adverse effect on the court's review of those issues. I have a great concern in that regard.
Thank you. Further questions? If not, thank you, Mr. Squires. I'd like to invite Mr. Frick and or your counsel or both to come up and have a chance to respond. And then we'll try to move expeditiously to public testimony. Welcome again, and counsel, please identify yourself for the record.
My name is Bill Weimer. I'm a lawyer for Fagree Baker Daniels, and I represent Minnesota Sands.
Welcome, Bill.
Thank you. I'll ask Rick to correct me on anything I say here, but just want to respond on a few points regarding Mr. Squires' testimony. First, the decision that he's referring to from Winona County is for a summary judgment motion. That is not the end of the trial. So that is the judge has the opportunity to agree with Minnesota Sands or to agree with the county or neither, in which case the trial would continue, which could take several months after that, after which there could be an appeal. The summary judgment could go against Minnesota Sands. The trial could go against Minnesota Sands. The appeal could go against Minnesota Sands, all of which can take years. So if the concept is to put the decision on hold, that would put Minnesota Sands on hold. When there is a ban in place right now, it would put Minnesota Sands in potentially on hold for a year, even if everything goes right for Minnesota Sands in the lawsuit. So I think it's a bit incorrect for you to understand that the decision is coming down in 90 days that you can wait for and you'll have a clear answer. That's speculation. So I want to make sure you understand that. I'm not the litigator in this case, but that's what the records say, and I'd ask Mr. Squires to disagree if that's incorrect. Okay, that's one thing.
Could you speak into the microphone, please?
Okay. The other point I wanted to make
one
is...
One may not be on.
The other point I wanted to make was he was saying that Mr. Frick's business plans have not changed or intentions have not changed. You all know that this is a business that Mr. Frick is trying to run. Business plans do change. Things have changed. The market has come and gone. We've all seen that. 2015 disappeared, came back, probably going to go away again. I have a brother, two nephews who are in this industry, and they've lost their jobs in this industry. They know that. That's part of the oil and gas industry. Very speculative. So the market can change. It can change after Mr. Frick could win in Winona County or lose in Winona County. So again, very speculative. Therefore, he is, for that reason and others, he has changed his plans like he has stated. He has stated that. He's sworn to that. I think all of his other comments, you know, are on the record. So it's clear that the upcoming decision is a summary judgment decision, and your counsel can explain that further. Okay, thank you. Also, leases are not relevant. They are a piece of the puzzle to consider, but they are not the key part. You can have a lease for a certain amount of property, and you can mine a subsection of that lease. So that comes down to the request that's made by Minnesota Sands for a property. It's not the lease property that's the specific aspect. It's the mining proposal that's relevant. You can lease 56.25 acres, and you could mine 35 on it. It's the mining plan that's relevant. Mr. Squires mentioned that the market has changed significantly. That's true. The market has changed. It has not changed to the point that was projected in January of this year. In January, the market was expected to be a $65 per barrel oil price. That hasn't happened. It's hovering right around $50 per barrel. That directly impacts Minnesota Sands business. The price of oil generates more interest by the fracking crews to frack, and therefore the production of oil. So it's not correct to say that Minnesota Sands is in any way misleading this group. The market has come back, but it has not come back to the point that people thought. We don't know where it will be. It could disappear. It's a very political issue. It's in 2015, OPEC changed the price of global oil. We know what Saudi Arabia did. So this is a lot of speculation. So therefore, Minnesota Sands, as Mr. Frick has said, has changed its business plans to focus on one mine. That's it. That's all it's interested in Minnesota for all the reasons he stated. So I just want to make that clear.
Please. My name is John Dustman, and I work for the firm of Summit Enviro Solutions. And
welcome, John.
Thank you. I've been working with Rick now for about 6 years, and we've become friends. In fact, I'm here on my own time today because Minnesota Sands can't afford to pay consulting bills because they can't find investors because they don't have any permits to mine sand. I feel pretty emotional about this because Rick has put a lot of effort into this. And to think that if Winona County overturns the ban, that I would advise my client to go in front of Winona County with a conditional use permit in front of the same commissioners that actually banned it, I think that's a whole different ballgame. There are no plans for Minnesota Sand to mine in Winona County because they can't, because there's a ban. And tabling this until for years while this decision is being made, it is neither here nor there because, quite frankly, the market isn't here right now. He can mine sand. He can, if he gets a permit to mine sand in Fillmore County, we estimate, our firm did all the drilling, all the modeling, all the sand testing, we estimate there's over 3 million tons there. If Minnesota Sands were to mine 200,000 tons a year, if my math writes, that's 15 years of mining. And at $30 profit per ton, that's $6 million profit on just the Dabbleston mine. So to think that he had a big vision, 6 years ago. I started a sand testing laboratory because we were using labs out of state and I was getting data that I didn't believe. So we went ahead and bought the necessary equipment to test the sand. And we found that it was very good sand. And in 2014, we processed thousands of samples. 2015, we processed 4. 2016, 0. So if no conditions changed, I mean, we worked very closely with Denise Wilson, who was with the EQB. Mr. Frick couldn't afford to generate the data to do the EIS because there was no market. $30 oil, remember that? When the Saudis put $30 oil on the market, the industry just collapsed. And yes, I think – I didn't check today, but I think oil's hovering around 50. It was at 90. If it goes to $90 oil, this industry will come back. And at that time, if all the conditions are right and there's a different set of commissioners in Winona County and the judge finds that the ban is unconstitutional, Mr. Frick has made it clear that if they have plans in the future to mine multiple sites, he will do the EIS. And believe me, I'm the guy that would be helping him to supply the data. So if you don't believe Mr. Frick, I'd like to think I have some credibility because I've been with it the whole time.
Questions? Christy?
Mr. Chair, Mr. Frick, I'm pretty confused. Now, your counsel has said that you've sworn comments to a change in your business plan, and yet we have affidavits that are court documents, which I assume are sworn documents, as to a different business plan altogether. I'm really having trouble reconciling that in terms of our...
You know, correct me if I'm wrong on this, Rick, but that the court documents say if Winona County finds the ban, or if the judge finds the ban unconstitutional, that means we need to win that lawsuit. Right now, we are banned. Okay, so we need to win that suit, and if there's an appeal, we need to win the appeal. Following that, like Mr. Dustman just said, then there will be a new regulation in place, we presume. We don't know what that looks like. We think Winona County will put in place a different regulation that we would need to meet. We'd file an application, a conditional use application, permit application, and meet those requirements. That takes a period of time. We don't know if we would get that. So Mr. Frick's statement is all based on ifs. If he can do this, if he can comply with the state of Minnesota's rules, Winona County's rules, then yes. But right now, he cannot mine in Winona County. So this is a big group of ifs that take place. And so therefore, you can imagine why his business plans have to change. He can't wait around. He's got to look in a different direction, and he's stated what his business plan is. So this is not anything in disagreement. He is saying if everything falls into place, and he is meeting the requirements of the state of Minnesota, this group, and the rest of the state of Minnesota, and Winona County, then he would, but that is several things have to happen right now. The ban is in place. So it's very consistent, and you can see why his business plans, if he wants to stay in business, he has to change his plans.
Mr. Chair,
Kristen.
Council, so my interpretation of that is that the plan that Mr. Frick would like to do, the plan itself has not changed, but there have been a number of circumstances, including the Winona ban, that that have interfered with that plan. Would that be a correct statement?
No, I don't think that would be correct. The plan has changed because of the ban. We cannot proceed with Winona County mining. The plan was to mine in Winona County. We cannot do that. If several things fall into place, then that will be addressed at the time. When that time comes, it's a very real possibility that the market will not be here at that time in light of the fluctuation of the oil and gas industry. So 2 years from now, 3 years from now, no one knows when the price of oil will come to the point where the proppant business will be at a point where it sustains his business. So no, I would say it's not correct to say it is his plan to mine in Winona County. Everything has to fall in place for him to do that. Right now, you have to recognize that he is banned from doing that, so he cannot do it. That can't be his plan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The rationale that's in the letter for removing the requirement for the EIS is that Mr. Frick has no plans that could be interpreted as phased actions. And if circumstances change in the favor of Minnesota Sands, it seems very clear to me that there is a potential for phased actions. In other words, that factor hasn't changed. So I don't need to discuss it any further, but I just needed to clarify for you what my point of concern and confusion is.
Mr. Dahl pointed out the definition of a phased action, and it's substantially certain. Two or more projects, substantially certain. That's part of the definition of phased action.
I have guidance from EQB documents that plans and should also be considered by RGUs in considering phased actions. But we don't have to go into that now. Thank you very much for your time.
Mr. Chair?
Please.
I also thought that Mr. Dahl did a great job, and one point that he did make, but I think it got glossed over, and this is kind of showing my error, I thought that the EIS was over in March of 2016 because we got a letter from EQB that said the project was closed. And so it was only because of moving forward with Fillmore County that we found out that the EIS was even still going. And so I think that's a kind of an important point because Mr. Frick was moving forward under the thought that the EIS project had been closed in 2016 because the EQB said it was. And so I think that's a very important thing. And also, I think the fact is that he has been retained me to do an environmental assessment for one 50-acre site in Fillmore County, not all the other leases, not in Winona County. And so I can tell you that we've only been focusing on this one site, and we thought the EIS was over. I get what we're doing here today, and I get it that the board has to take action on this, and I guess that's why we're requesting you do so.
You referenced the letter. Will has it in hand.
Yeah, I just want to, for the record, highlight what Mr. Dustman is referencing. There's a letter that's here before you dated March 1st, 2016, and to be clear, the project that was closed out as a separate legal document than the order, which is what we're here discussing today. The project was the contract for scoping the environmental impact statement, which never moved forward. And I'll just read into the record here. On August 26, 2015, you received a letter from me informing you that your account was suspended. We suspended our work at the end of the 2015 fiscal year because no additional preparatory work was warranted until your project data was submitted. Previously, you received emails and letters keeping you informed of project-related expenses and summaries of work performed. As you're aware, the income agreement expired on January 14, 2016. Because no data submittal has yet been received, we are no longer retaining the project staff, which was only hired to complete the referenced EIS project. If you choose to proceed in the future and are able to provide the project data submittal, the EQB, as a designated RGU, will take the necessary steps to arrange for a new income agreement, retain project management staff, and conduct the environmental review process for your project. So that was what the letter stated. If there was confusion, I do apologize. Just for the record, there were no questions that were given to us, email or calls, after this letter, so we assumed it was pretty clear.
Further questions? Comments?
I think one comment on that is we did bring that point up in a conversation that we had, a conference call between the three of us and yourself, Ms. Seifert. So we did bring that up, that was our understanding. That was in, I believe, July, the summer, where we noted that letter. And it was clear that the term project is being closed is referring to the EIS project. That's our interpretation. We made that clear in our conference call with you. So that's why we requested a hearing. You requested information, which we provided fully to Mr. Dahl. And so we thought, Minnesota Sands thought, that the EIS project was closed or was being closed, and therefore, like Mr. Dussman said, Mr. Frick had Mr. Dussman prepare an EAW to proceed with just a Fillmore County. And we didn't know that the EIS was not closed until the zoning administrator for Fillmore County stated that she would need to get approval from the EQB. And we said, the EIS is terminated. And she said, no, it's still going. That's when we contacted you. So we apologize for any confusion on our part, but I think it was reasonable for us to take the path that we did based on your letter saying the EIS or the project is being closed. So that was our interpretation.
And just for the record, the conversation referenced by Mr. Weimer was a conversation this August in which we stated what needed to be done to bring this matter before the board.
Correct. Thank you.
Okay.
Mr. Chair.
John.
Mr. Weimer, I know you're not representing Mr. Frick in Winona County litigation, but I just want to be clear, there are two actions or two remedies. I'm not clear on what has been brought before Winona County.
Yeah, Mr. Squires, I think, was correct when he said there are two actions, two different plaintiffs, the southeastern landowners and Minnesota Sands. So two different plaintiffs. Those two actions were joined before the same judge.
Understood. And the summary judgment or the declaratory judgment relief that's being sought in Winona County is as you said, and I just want to refresh my memory what you said, which is there really are, from Mr. Frick's perspective, three options. One is the court prevails in his behalf. The court doesn't prevail in his behalf, or the court just doesn't say anything on that declaratory judgment, and then the litigation just continues. Did I state that correctly?
That's correct, and I didn't mention one aspect to that. If Minnesota Sands prevails on the summary judgment motion that it's requested, it would continue on with the trial beyond the summary judgment, because what's not dealt with in the summary judgment is the damage determination. So that claim will carry the trial forward. So it's incorrect to say that Minnesota Sands will have a resolution from the trial court in 90 days.
So I'm not a lawyer, but I've been sued many times.
sorry about that.
But it's, just a good bureaucrat doing a bunch of regulatory stuff. But the damage, though, that Mr. Frick claims has to do with something he expected or he believes is his value or benefit lost. If he has no plan, then he has no loss. I'm unclear what the description of his loss is.
Well, I'm not, like you said, I'm not the litigator on the matter, but the point is the ban was put in place in November. There is damage since that time. So whenever the decision comes out, say Mr. Frick and Minnesota Sands prevails, there will be a determination of damages from the point of when the ban was put in place. So that doesn't change Mr. Frick's plan. That aspect doesn't have the effect. The injunction or the ban itself is what has the effect on Mr. Frick's plan. So he is arguing in his suit, or Minnesota Sands is arguing, that they are damaged as a result of the effect that they've had on their previous plan. But their previous plan has to stop because he would be violating Winona County law if he were to mine now. So he has to change the plan. He has changed it. And so there is damage. There's a damage claim in that suit.
Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Mr. Chair, that just triggered another question in my mind. So that you gave some longer description earlier about what the duration of litigation might be, and I think in your explanation to Commissioner Stein, what I heard is that the two parts of it are the summary judgment and then the damages, and the damages issue could go on for some time after summary judgment. But the summary judgment will be provided by the end of this calendar year.
Right around the end of this year.
And there's 60 days to appeal that.
Yes, but there may not be an appeal in the summary judgment. The mm-hmm. judge, again, could decide to disagree with each party's summary judgment motion and could proceed, which does happen in many lawsuits, and then the trial would proceed.
How common is that?
I'm probably not the best one to ask, but I would say the litigators would probably say more often than not the summary judgment is not the is less common than proceeding with trial. But I would invite Mr. Squires to comment on that as well.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, Commissioner Landwehr, I'm certainly not an attorney, but I'm just totally missing something here because I don't see why there's a focus on the lawsuit in Winona County and Minnesota Sands plans. There is no lawsuit being done in Fillmore County, and Minnesota Sands has absolutely no plans to mine adjacent properties next to the Dabbleston mine. And so I'm not sure I understand the focus on the outcome of the lawsuit and what would happen if the ban were overturned, because the market conditions definitely aren't here to go and willy-nilly start mining, let alone all the logistics issues, the transload. But I think it's been said numerous times today that if all the stars were to align, if the oil price was good and we're exporting oil and they're drilling and there's a new set of county commissioners, then Minnesota Sands would come back to the EQB and propose a project that required an EIS. So I think that's what's been said here today.
Further questions? If not, thank you very much. Mr. Squires, you've been invited a couple of times by Mr. Weimer to come up and respond, so I'll welcome you back for a few minutes.
I think the one question about the lawsuit that I can provide insight in is the question of summary judgment. Excuse me. Summary judgment is granted by a court when there are no issues of material fact. When there are issues of material fact, that's when a court will refuse to grant summary judgment, because those are issues that have to be resolved by a fact finder, a jury, for example. In both lawsuits, none of the parties have alleged that there are any issues of material fact. The ordinance amendment is what it is, and all the other facts are undisputed. Therefore, I would find it extremely unlikely that the district court would not grant summary judgment to either party. I think it's going to go one way or the other in the suits. So I don't agree that this case will continue on to a trial on the merits of the ordinance amendment and the validity. I think it will be resolved within that time frame that we talked about. And I'd be happy to answer any other questions that may have arisen from
Questions,
Mr. Frick and Council's comments?
Seeing none, thank you.
Thank you.
Sure.
Assume we could have some internal discussion, or we can move directly to public comment. John?
Mr. Chair, I'd like to explore a path here that I really appreciate both Mr. Frick and his counsel and advisors appearing and answering questions. I also appreciate Mr. Squire's testimony. I think that one of the complications that I'm wrestling with is the uncertainties that all parties face in this matter, given that it's complicated by litigation at the county level. It is also wrapped up in a number of variable conditions that could lead to uncertainty regarding the appropriate review and permitting processes. And so the board's job is to be clear on permitting and environmental review requirements. That's one of our statutory obligations. I think that the lack of clarity at this point, given the litigation and the opportunity that may arise for the judge in Winona County to be further confounded by any decision we make, suggests to me that a very time-limited delay in our action is appropriate. We've gotten testimony and requests from two county attorneys saying it would be, well, one is representing Winona County in litigation. The other, the Fillmore County attorney, says it's his request that we table the request for determination. I think that out of sensitivity to the court, to the law, to the county attorneys, and to the participants in this discussion, I want to make a motion that we table our action for until our first meeting in 2018.
You've heard the motion. Is there a second?
Second.
There is a second. I think we will move with that motion in place,
Mr. Chair,
and take public testimony before we act on the motion.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to make a friendly amendment to that.
Please.
If I could. Mr. Chair, I think part of my...
We'll get to you.
Part of my rationale for asking about the...
Pardon me?
Many people would like to speak before...
I understand that, and I'm totally prepared to welcome you to the mic here as soon as we get through some procedural discussion. Tom?
Part of my interest in asking about the duration of the legal filings is to find out when we can say, yes, the lawsuit is resolved, and it's beyond just the judge's motion or judge's ruling on the end of the year. It's that 60-day period for an appeal. So, Mr. Chair, I would offer a friendly amendment that we table until after March 1st, which carries us beyond that 60-day appeal period as well.
Would the maker of the motion care to incorporate that into it, and could you restate the motion?
It's agreeable to me that we, so the motion
and seconder?
Yes.
Restating the motion would be that we table our action on this pending the court's decision and any likely appeals no sooner than March 1st, 2018.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
And Mr. Chair, I too want to hear from the people who've appeared, and we're not, I don't want, this has nothing to do with my motion, but I want to be clear, we're not seeking to stifle the comments of the people who have come to be heard today. I just think that I want to be clear the direction we're heading before we move ahead.
I'm told by counsel that further discussion from the board is in order before we go to public comment. I would also think we could have that after public comment also. So,
Mr. Chair, I think it's constructive that there is a motion before and the board so that the public knows what that is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. All right. I would like to invite Bonita Underbaki. Bonita is from Lanesboro and is representing citizens of Fillmore County. Welcome.
Just like I am a citizen, that's all.
Well,
it's
I'm
not
just...
it's not an organization.
I'm reading from...
I'm sorry, I misled you in that.
You're a citizen of Fillmore County.
I'm a plain person.
Citizen of the globe. Welcome. Good to see you.
Thank you, Chair Fredrickson, board members. I am Bonita Underbaki from Fillmore County. That's the southeastern toe of Minnesota, Bluff Country, near a village called Lanesboro. It's clear that you are all under pressure to ignore the contradictions in Minnesota Sand statements and their transparent ploy to avoid environmental law review would deny us southeastern Minnesotans the look at the full potential impact of their plans of projects before permitting. And the backup plan for Fillmore County is the promise of technical assistance from the state to tell our already busy staff how to process Minnesota Sand's EAW, which is just their story. They fill in the blanks. And then enforce the permit conditions. And that promise of technical assistance is empty. Because on closer look, we've seen 4.5 years ago how that came to be. That was shaped by and favors the frac sand mining industry. Strong voices lobby and clamor for you to let their request slide through, even though that decision would make your board meaningless. But the voices of future generations cannot be ignored. They need to be heard and need your attention and advocacy. Thank you for the opportunity to speak to the urgency of your rejecting Minnesota Sand's request and keeping their EIS requirement in place.
Thank you very much, Ms. Underbaki. Tom Barnes. Tom is from Lanesboro also, and he's representing himself. Welcome, Tom.
Thank you. Tom Barnes.
Can we wait?
I'm in the suburbs of the booming metropolis of Pilot Mound, which is actually north of Lanesboro. As a framework of my comments, I want to tie this to my life experiences. So I went to college in a small college in southeast Minnesota, in Winona. Obtained a degree in environmental biology. Part of that is I got well known or was able to see the countryside in an up close and personal manner. Most of what my education was, you know, you have a lot of classes for plant insect technology, taxonomy, identifying things. But what stuck with me the most was that they taught that the environment is a system. You tinker with one thing, it's probably going to affect something else. So there's the food web. There's the water cycle. It's all connected together. I learned that whether you happen to be studying leafcutter ants in the jungles of the Amazon, which I did for my thesis, or if you're studying global warming, it's all about systems. Moving on. I got a job for 12 years as a systems computer programmer. Once again, there's that word systems. Telecommunications, front-end processing, there were millions of lines of code. Obviously, I did not write them. Had to fix some of them. But you had to either understand it all or you had to know the people who understood it so you could understand the whole system. Because if you fix 2 lines of code over here and break 17 over here, That's not a zero-sum game. Moving on, after 12 years of that, I became a licensed residential contractor. As part of that, that's also involved systems. When you're working on a house, you just can't willy-nilly take out a wall and expect the rest of the house to not be affected by that. You also have to understand your materials. There are such things as material safety data sheets for just about every, whether it's plywood, OSB, or tar paper. You have to understand you know, what the implications of using that material are in your whole system, in your whole house or your addition. There is a well-documented loophole, which I think Mr. Frick is sort of trying to do. In the building trades, in particular cities, there are ordinances that says that, well, if you tear down a house, now you have to abide by the current setbacks and the current regulations. But if you leave one wall standing, then you don't have to worry about that. And my implication is that Fillmore County Doppelstein Mine is that one wall. As I said, I'm a resident of Fillmore County, Pilot Mound. And if you look on your maps, if you have this map, and you see the Doppelstein Mine, right below that is Highway 30. It makes a little, and right below the D is my house. Every time I walk out the back door, I see the Doppelstein Mine site. And so what I'm asking here is that you need to consider the system. I don't care if it's one mine site. I know you don't have any influence on what the acreage criteria is. But to me, it sounds like the implication of whether it's just one mine site or, in this case, four mine sites that's within a quarter of a mile of my house, that seems like they should all be considered together. You know, there are minor things, like they talked about this mine might be open for 15 years. Well, what do you think that's going to do to my property values? According to Fillmore County's ordinances, they can operate from 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. Monday through Friday and 7 to 3 on Saturdays. But they don't do Sundays or holidays. Oh, they do blasting too. That's allowed. And Fillmore County only allows 5 mine sites the entire county. And look where 4 of them are. Awfully close together, and I would consider that one site. So I want you to think about this as a system, and that's what an EIS is. Is looking at the entire aspect. You're not just looking at how much particulate matter is floating through the air, or how much runoff is going to go into the trout stream, which there is one close by, which an EAW would not cover, but an EIS would.
Mr. Barnes,
yes.
I was just looking at the clock, and I counted out the number of people left here. There's
very good.
Well, just 1 minute. There's 13 people left. That's four
okay,
minutes
well,
apiece.
Well, I basically have covered most of it other than the one thing that Mr. Frick said that really stood out to me and kind of framed this whole argument is, oh, well, we're just out to make money. And I'm looking at Environmental Quality Board back there. It doesn't have any money in it. You can decide. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. I'd like to invite Harvey Benson and Lynn Rigg up to be sort of in the deck chair. Harvey, Mr. Benson, welcome. And if Lynn could come up, we could cut down a little bit of approach time. Thank you. Welcome to the committee.
Good evening to everybody here. Thank you for having us here. I think that's part of what democracy is about, to hear both sides. Thank you.
So the environmental impact statements are part of our laws to help protect the citizens' health or maybe from unbridled acquisition of wealth. We all want our environment to be the healthiest possible. I'd like to step back just for a moment and explain myself a bit more on the subject of fracking and coal and oil and gas production. For 150 years or more and more, the non-renewable extractive energy forms of coal, gas, and oil have driven our dream of a better world. And most would certainly say it's been a success, replacing and supplanting our feeble human energy has made for a world so different from the basic human energy world. And we don't want to go backward from our energy-driven world. Almost nobody does. But it's time to change. we become, all of us have become aware of how polluting and unhealthy, let's say, our present energy sources are. From the polluted air, which causes tremendous health problems and expense, to water, which has often become deeper and more expensive to extract, to the actual quality of the water itself. So it's past time to move from polluting, extractive, non-renewable to cleaner, renewable energy forms. And in this transition period of moving from one energy source to another, we want to be as healthy as possible. So please, through an environmental impact statement, let it work as it was intended to help keep us healthy. Our children and grandchildren, all the residents, are going to be really thankful for you. And it's okay to leave some gas and oil and coal in the ground, because we did not give up the Stone Age because we ran out of stones. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Benson.
By the way, I'm Harvey from Harmony. Harmony, Minnesota.
I got you right here, and you're a citizen of Fillmore County.
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Lynn Rigg from Red Wing, Minnesota.
Welcome,
thank you for the
Ms.
time
Rigg.
And consideration. As a resident of Goodhue County, there have been many residents in Red Wing and the surrounding communities who have been objecting to frac sand mining in our area. We have cited many reasons to ban frac sand mining in southeastern Minnesota. Without elaborating on each reason, they include health, environmental issues, tourism, road traffic, road maintenance, noise, water quality, water depletion, alienation of neighboring landowners, value depreciation of property within a 3-mile radius, and more recently, as experienced in Wisconsin, creation of unstable piles of sand waste and also illicit wastewater runoff. If one of your reasons is that it will solve a problem with unemployment, a recent study relates that Minnesota has returned to a 3.7 rate of unemployment. This does not seem to be a reasonable excuse for allowing sand mining when the reasons for banning it are so much more legitimate and damaging to the community of southeast Minnesota. A representative from the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources commented, "The industry just came on too fast. I wish we could turn back the clock a couple of years and start over." This meeting has been scheduled to let Southeast Minnesota frac sand mine proceed without comprehensive environmental review. There have been many, many people who are requesting a ban on frac sand mining in Southeast Minnesota. There have been very few who are advocating for this mining. It seems that rather than listening to the people with valid concerns, Minnesota Sands has been delegating time to justifying frac sand mining with regulations, variations, and ordinances to accommodate the reason for same. On behalf of all those who are against frac sand mining in Southeast Minnesota, please insist on enforcing all environmental regulations, including requiring the environment impact statement. It would be unfortunate if, in a few years, we are saying, "The industry just came on too fast. I wish we could turn back the clock a couple of years and start over." Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much, Lynn. And we'll move now to Lori Sell, and if Jane Cowgill could come up and take the next chair, I'd appreciate that. Lori and Jane. Lori is here representing herself, but is from Saratoga Township in Winona. Welcome.
Hi.
And Jane, have a chair, not a cow.
Hold the sign.
Yeah. you plan to speak?
Yes.
Okay. Hold the sign.
I'm Lori Sell from Saratoga Township. I wore sandals today in October in Minnesota. Climate change is here. It's happening today. We can't ignore the signs. Our globe is heating up. We have an administration right now who is turning back our time as far as renewable energies in Minnesota. We do not frack in this state. What we do have is oil and wind energies, and we need to invest in those instead of taking away the subsidies. When I first came to Winona to look at property, I found this beautiful place in Troy, Minnesota, and I saw these huge signs that said soil and water conservation district, and I thought I had found heaven because I thought we had like-minded people there that were going to be wise stewards of the land. Little did I know that those beautiful bluffs were full of silica sand. To my horror, when I started looking at geological research and found out that those hills were full of sand and that these miners coveted this sand to put it on a barge and send it down the Mississippi to frack oil wells in Texas right now, it is hot. I read the Wall Street Journal every single day, not because I want to, but because I keep up on what the wolves on Wall Street are doing. Huge today about fracking, and it has been this whole year. The problem with the oil right now and the reason why we haven't seen over $50 a barrel is because our reserves. Everybody was lying about how much reserves we had. Well, guess what? The reserves are now coming down, and the price of oil will be going up. A year and a half ago, our country opened up to the world market that we could export oil. This is not about saving as far as our own, you know, I'm losing my thought here, but it's not about just saving America. It's about making money, and we're opening up the market to the world, okay? Saudis don't like it so much. There's other countries in OPEC that are still drilling and pumping oil, too, because it's all about how much of the market that they can take. I live in a sacrificial zone. Breaks my heart. The map that you show in 2013 doesn't show nearly the amount of mines that are going to happen in this area. This is not a level playing field. These silica sand mines contaminate our private wells. We're not in a municipality. Each one of us have our own wells. They're all sand wells. The sand is what filtrates and percolates our water. This is me. I was a certified surgical technologist in the Department of Cardiac and Thoracic Surgery at Mayo Clinic. I've seen the damage done caused by silica sand. It's called silicosis. It enters every single alveoli of your lung, and you die of asphyxiation. In 2015, healthcare insurance companies and their underwriters have taken silicosis off of the treatment. So if you get diagnosed with silicosis, you've got yourself a death sentence. You've got about 3 months to go home and get your affairs in order. For one man to get rich off of this mining and to have the deep undercurrent of what this does to every single person living on a truck route, we're talking 200 trucks per day, per mine. You heard the guy talk about the hours. I've seen it coming from Pilot Mile. I've seen it from the Nisbet mine that's open today. I've seen it also coming from the Griffin mine, coming right past my house. I live right here next to this trout stream. They spent over $300,000 restoring this trout stream with a grant plus money plus the DNR plus Trout Unlimited to fully restore this trout stream. I have seen the collapse of a amphibious life forms because of all the herbicides and pesticides dumped on us. Our nitrates in our water are over the state levels. My husband and I have been able to afford a reverse osmosis system just to bring those levels down, but I can tell you what, a lot of people can't. Our water quality is really in peril, and believe me, when they start blasting and messing up the aquifers here, we're going to see a lot of heavy metals dumping into our water systems, and they don't care because we're all on private wells. I mean, the system here is so rigged against the average person to live in an area that is deemed a sacrificial zone should never happen in the state of Minnesota. We've seen it happen in Tripolo County. I am so angry. I'm so angry about this. That's all I got to say.
Thank you, Lori. Jane, and then I'd ask Jim Gurley to come up and have a chair. Jane? Welcome. Jane is from Winona also?
Yes, I'm from Winona.
Representing herself.
Yes. I'm afraid we're going from the sublime to the ridiculous here
me. I want to compliment your sign-holding skill also.
It was really good, I know.
Yeah.
I practiced a lot. I would just like to say, guys and ladies, I am getting really old, and I have been working at this for 6 or 7 years now, and it's really, really depressing when government agencies turn back on things that they've already accomplished. And it makes me pretty darn tired. And I'm just hoping that you will not believe what Minnesota Sands is saying and that you will stick with your original decision. I'm also, actually, I've lived in Winona for 30 years, but I was born in New York City. And, you know, if you believe Minnesota Sands, I have a bridge to sell you. And I think, I not that they're bad people. They want to make a living. We understand that, but this is not the way. I'm very concerned about the health effects. Because actually I live in the city of Winona, which does not come under the ban. We have a port where tons of frac sand has been brought in from Wisconsin over the bridge. And we've seen times where huge long lines of trains are lined up on the track with frac sand piled up on it, uncovered, no protections, and it's really serious. You know, I'll just stop with just one little factoid. Do you know, for the people from the Department of Health, that there is a church, a rather large church, in the city of Winona, that when it got its, a couple years ago, it got its insurance policy, you know, review and so on, and they found in that insurance policy a little sign saying, "We will not cover you in the cases of silica sand contamination." And they called the insurance company and said, "Would you? Could we pay you extra to get coverage?" They said no. This is a major insurance company, and I don't know if you know this, but way back in the early 20th century, it was a New York insurance company that had finally identified silica sand mining and working with silica sand in other places as a health hazard. So I take these insurance companies' renderings to be really serious. So I know you've probably heard this all before, but there really are. This is a very big and serious problem. And it's clear that the Minnesota Sands would like to have a very gigantic operation, which none of us really want. So thank you.
Thank you, Jane. Jim Gurley, and please, Kelly Standish, come on up, Kelly.
Yes, Jim? Chair and members of the board, thank you very much for allowing our public comment. My name is Jim Gurley. I live in central Winona County. I just have a few comments and a couple of questions. Mr. Dustman, I heard him say that Rick Frick couldn't afford to pay him to come here today to speak in his defense. So Mr. Frick is obviously in need of money. Next, the frac sand industry in North America says repeatedly that now, as opposed to 5 or 10 years ago, in order for a frac sand mine to be profitable, it has to be right virtually next to a railhead with 500 to 1,000 acres around it for a spur and other activity. Otherwise, trucking sand in large diesel trucks to where they're going to transload it onto rail cars is prohibitively expensive. It's very expensive. And the margins these days in that industry are very slim. So one would assume that this single Dabbleston mine is not a way for Mr. Frick to make money, because it's not super close to that railhead or that transload facility that he has designs on creating next to St. Charles, which is just north of there in Winona County. So my question is, why would he be working to get a future transload facility there in St. Charles? St. Charles is a village of about 3,000 people, by the way. It's very, very beautiful, very, very quaint. Some background for some of you who may not have been around at the time this happened, but about 5 years ago, Mr. Frick's previous triad corporation called Minnesota Proppant set in motion plans to create and build North America's largest frac sand plant and transload facility, which would have abutted that village. The only reason that was not built, because the city leaders there were pushing for it, for economic development, so to speak, the only reason it wasn't built was because citizens, like those you see before you, got together and vehemently and hard work defeated it. I'm just asking you to take a look at why he's doing this. What toehold does he want to get by just asking for this one mine and permission to mine there? And I really simply want to ask you to deny his request today rather than waiting several months into the future. I am not sure, but I don't have a feeling that you won't get here a lot of citizens coming before you today who've traveled 100, 200 miles to tell you to let Mr. Frick have his way. So I would hope that you could listen to us and take us seriously, and I appreciate the time.
Thanks, Jim. I'd like to ask Lorraine Culver to come up and take the chair, and also to welcome Kelly. Nice to see you again.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, members of the board, thank you for the opportunity to speak. My name is Kelly Stanage. I live in rural Winona County. I served on the Silica Sand Rulemaking Advisory Panel, and I currently serve on the Winona County Planning Commission. I am here on my own behalf to urge you to uphold the EIS on the Minnesota Sands projects in southeastern Minnesota. I want to digress from my prepared statement, however. I really wish I could say it's a pleasure to be here again. But this
breaking
is
my heart.
But this is yet another time that so many of us have had to drop everything we're doing, everything going on in our lives, travel on a beautiful autumn day for 5 hours in a car to prevent something from happening. Spend our personal time and money doing that, okay? You said something, Chair Fredrickson. You referred to parties of the discussion earlier. I'm assuming you were referring to the proposer and maybe Jay Squires, the Winona County attorney. You know what? We, citizens of this state, are parties to this discussion. And I think it's really important that we all try to find a way to include us in these discussions much earlier on so that we aren't constantly having to spend our own time and money and dropping everything that's going on in our lives to do these things. I think we can find a way. I'm willing to discuss ways we might do that. Okay, so I'm here on my own behalf. The request from the company states that they no longer have plans to mine any properties other than the Dabbleston site. However, at the same time, they are suing Winona County to be able to mine there as well. Their legal briefs cite that they hold leases to over 3,500 acres. It is clear evidence of their intent to mine in additional locations. Market conditions and lack of business justification are cited as reasons there are no plans to mine elsewhere. Market conditions, especially in the oil and gas industry, are highly variable. As they change, business justifications change, as do plans. When market conditions change, will another request be received to release yet another site from environmental review? What we do know for a fact is that the company holds leases on 11 sites in two counties. This is not a hypothetical. They themselves call them active leases. And there is nothing to keep them from writing new leases in Houston County or other counties in southeastern Minnesota. The company has already demonstrated an inability to comply with contractual agreements to perform environmental review. 1 year and 3 months after entering into a scoping contract with the EQB, they hadn't even provided the data necessary to start the EIS scoping phase. Yet the EQB is actually considering terminating the requirement for an EIS simply because the proposer claims it's not necessary. Even when there's ample evidence of phased and connected actions, the 2013 findings for the EIS cite a number of key reasons the EIS was justified. Among them are the greater level expertise of state agencies to analyze potential impacts, and the fact that the projects met the test for phased and connected actions. Removing this one site from the EIS is utterly contrary to the original finding that the projects are phased and connected. Removing this one site from the EIS or terminating the EIS altogether would push the regulation responsibility down to the county level. Again, the original findings noted one of the reasons for doing it in the first place was the higher level of expertise at state agencies. What we see here is what we have seen in Wisconsin. This industry consistently does everything they can to circumvent regulation. They do it at the county level. They do it at the state level. In addition, the environmental regulation rollback occurring at the federal level is horrifying. I feel fortunate to live in Minnesota, in a state where we have things like the EQB to keep industries like the frac sand industry from harming our health and safety and ruining our lives. We need you to stand firm and uphold the EIS. Thank you.
Thank you, Kelly. Lorraine, and then I'd ask Bruce Keymichael to come up and be on deck.
Welcome, Lorraine Culver. Excuse me.
Welcome.
Lorraine Culver. I live in Houston, Minnesota. In my hands, this was put into my hands by my friend Betts Reedy behind me there, and I'm looking at a commentary syndicated from the Washington Post by Michael Gerson, who is the author, just part of a paragraph. The common good is a neglected topic in our politics. It is not identical to market forces or to legal rules that maximize individual autonomy. It is the result of prudent public and private choices that strengthen community, the seedbed of human flourishing, and ensure that the weak are valued and protected. That's in support of what other people have already said. Then, calling on my personal past, when I was a counselor in a community mental health center and assessing people who had suicidal thoughts, I took as guidance the fact that prior behavior is the most predictive of future behavior. Have you ever attempted suicide before? yes or no, gives you some insight. I was present probably in this very room at a hearing by the EQB where Mr. Frick appeared, and he claimed that he no longer was associated with, you know, that Mr. Erickson was no longer associated with his cluster of leases. But he couldn't provide a letter that showed that they'd broken that agreement. And so this board gave him the opportunity to go home and look again, or perhaps manufacture such a letter. Now, I think what he has said here today is just as flexible as his filing skills, and I don't believe him. And he wouldn't be into this fuss with you guys if he just wanted that one little mine. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Lorraine. Bruce, but I'd like to ask Vern Crossan to come up and take a chair also. Bruce, welcome. Bruce is from Caledonia.
Yes, thank you, Chairman. Well, everybody took my thunder. Thank you very much.
I think we'd like to have Bruce come back and he set you up pretty good, Harvey. That means you don't have 8 minutes, however. Welcome, Harvey.
Or Vern.
Or Vern, I'm sorry, yes. And would Roy please come up and take a chair? It's Roy Hauser.
Good afternoon, and thank you for the opportunity to be here. My name is Vern Croson. I'm a lifetime resident of Fillmore County and a retired Pilot Mound Township supervisor. This is the same township where Minnesota Sands is requesting approval to open a frac sand mine called Dobbelstein. I was an active contributor in 2012 and 13 when Fillmore County wrote its current ordinance, number 736, and that's titled Excavation and Mining of Industrial Minerals and Metals. We put some items in that to do some controlling of this industry, and I am familiar with those. I want to go on to say that my wife and I, along with our parents and several family members, owning and caring for different farms in the township, which always thought was ourselves as being good stewards of this land. And we also have a prominent trout stream that runs through our family farm. And I know Commissioner Landwehr is very familiar with Trout Run.
I bet he never caught a fish there.
He has been there. I'm sure he's been there. I would go on to say that Minnesota Sands has stated that they hold leases to mine sand in over 3,500 acres, which we've heard before today. But I have always felt that the environmental impact statement requirement was going to assure our local residents a complete study would be performed for the potential impact of these ventures, and thus that would help us in our small township and our local neighborhoods. I have toured frac sand mining in western Wisconsin, and I can witness that some of that was obviously started before the regulations and ordinance had a chance to be developed. I do not want to see a duplication in southern Minnesota for that activity that was witnessed in Wisconsin. Please don't feel that you have to make a decision prematurely, and please don't falter in the face of Minnesota Sands' poorly hidden intentions. Please reject Minnesota Sands' request to terminate and keep the IAS in place. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Vern. Welcome, Roy House. Roy's from Chatfield and is here on his own behalf.
Yes, I am. Let's see if I can get myself.
No problem. Take your time. And while you're sitting down, if I could invite Joanna Ruprecht to come up and grab a chair. Welcome, Roy.
My name's Roy Halson. I live in Fillmore County. In fact, as the crow flies, I guess I'm less than 2 miles from the Devilstein sand mine. So I'm very much aware of what's going on. And I'll be very brief and just sort of make a summary statement in that southeastern Minnesota is endowed with an unusual amount of natural attributes. And those of us who live here are obligated to do whatever we can to be sure these attributes stay intact. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'd like to ask Ken Schomper to come up and take a chair also. Joanne Ruprecht, welcome to the committee. Joanne is here. Joanna is here representing Land Stewardship Project.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair and members. Yes, I'm Johanna Ruprecht. I am a resident of Winona County and a policy organizer with the Land Stewardship Project. I'm here to ask you to deny the request from Minnesota Sands to terminate their EIS order. That's, frankly, the only reasonable response to this, frankly, ridiculous request that has been brought before you today. The state is under no obligation to continue to dance to the tune of this industry, to bend over backwards to meet this proposer's request. What you should do is simply tell him, no, your story doesn't make sense. Come back to us at such a time as you're willing to present the full facts, because that's clearly not what has happened today. So I'm asking you not to delay, but to simply deny the request on this decision. I want to refer to the history of the situation a little bit. I know many of you have been on the board for a number of years. Some of you are newer members of this board. For citizens here, you know, many of us have been involved in this for a number of years as well, and it really feels like on this particular decision, we're right back where we started 4 years ago, and that's a pretty unbelievable situation to be in. But for those of you who weren't around then, in 2012 and 2013, Minnesota Sands was claiming that its proposed mines and its proposed St. Charles processing and rail shipment facility were all totally unconnected to each other, and they were trying to get the project approved piecemeal without anyone ever looking at the full impacts of everything that they wanted to do in southeast Minnesota, which included and includes frac sand mining, processing, and transportation affecting a multi-county area. And what they were trying to do and what they're still trying to do again today was to make a mockery of the entire purpose of environmental review law, which is to make sure that the full impacts of a proposed action are reviewed before any decisions on permitting any portion of that project are allowed to be made. So if Minnesota Sands is released from the EIS, they can proceed with the project piecemeal, which is exactly what they wanted to do in the first place. An EAW on a single site on one small part of their project is in no way a substitute for the comprehensive environmental review of an EIS. An EAW is narrow in scope and will not look at the full impacts. This project is multi-county in scope and in impact. You can see Winona County from the top of the hill behind Tom Barnes' house, which is the proposed Doppelstein mine site. Even that mine alone would impact Winona County as well. And I in no way believe that you should accept the idea that Minnesota Sands only wants to proceed with that mine. It's quite clear that the facts contradict that claim. But that mine alone would impact Winona County as well. And those impacts are not going to be fully understood unless there's a comprehensive EIS on the whole project on everything Minnesota Sands intends to do. In the findings prepared by staff, it refers to the idea that originally Minnesota Sands voluntarily agreed to complete the EIS. And I want to point out that that is not the case, because you cannot volunteer to follow the law. Mandatory is mandatory. The EIS was and still is mandatory due to the size of the project this company is proposing, which is well above the 160-acre threshold. But even though that is the case, is and was the case, it took a lot of citizens, many of the same ones you see here today, from the directly affected area of this project, speaking up in 2013 in order to get the EQB to enforce that EIS requirement. And we're very glad that you did make the right decision at that time. And there's simply no reason for you to undo that decision now. The statements in the affidavit that you were provided by Mr. Frick are clearly, as has been discussed, contradicted by the other facts of this case, including particularly the information he's provided in the Winona County lawsuit. and you cannot make this decision based on an affidavit that contains misleading information. Minnesotans require higher standards than that from our state agencies. Earlier, Mr. Dahl suggested that you need to make a ruling based on applying the rules to the facts of the case, and that is what you need to do. But what Minnesota Sands has provided you is not equal to the facts of the case. So again, you should reject this decision and reject rather than delaying making a decision, and let Minnesota Sands come back to you at such a time in the future if they are willing to be truthful and provide you with the full facts of the case, which they have not done so far. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Welcome, Ken. And I'd like to ask Lynn Carlson to come up and have a chair. Good to see you again.
Good to see you again, Commissioner. Thank you. Commissioners, members of the EQB, I'm Ken Chumper from La Crescent Township. This has to be the most uncomfortable meeting I've ever sat through, I think, even when I was in the legislature.
I was going to say, wait a minute, you're a former legislator. Come on.
Well, the reason it's uncomfortable is because I've known Rick Frick for 30 years. He used to haul mail for me when I had a dairy herd. In fact, I just sold him a big load of hay 8 days ago for his horses, at which time we discussed most of the issues that came up here for today. And I can tell you that our discussion then and his comments were significantly inconsistent with some of the things he said today. And so that really bothers me. My comments are in your packet. I do want to make one quick point. And I think there's a real issue as to whether or not Minnesota Sands is undercapitalized. And I think that issue could come up in the future significantly. We all know there's been some real high-profile cases in this state, especially in northern Minnesota in recent years, where companies that got permits from the state got halfway through what they were doing and collapsed financially. We know that's the case in Wisconsin, where a lot of frac sand mines committed to doing reclamation, and as soon as they were done mining, they filed bankruptcy, and the local units of government ended up cleaning up those mines. Okay, so I think, and we heard his consultant allude to that today, we even heard Mr. Frick allude to that today, that their financial situation is not very good, in my opinion, to be undertaking a big project like this that clearly they intend to undertake at some point in the future. So I hope when this issue comes up again, probably in March, that you all start to ask some serious questions about that, and your staff does too. So thank you, Commissioner.
Thank you very much, Ken. Welcome, Lynn, and I'll ask the last testifier, Barb Nelson, to come up and please have a chair.
Do you guys want to stand up and stretch for a second?
No, go ahead. We're going to knock this out.
I have a back injury, so I'm going to.
No, I want to thank each and every one of you. I love seeing environmental, and I love seeing quality on your board. Your work is really tremendous, and it's not easy, and I don't envy you. And this whole day, this whole process has turned into timelines and legislative bullcrap about what's going to happen with the lawsuit, what's going to happen with the mining company who wants to have a summary judgment made. Southeastern Minnesota's waited 4 years for an environmental impact statement. 4 years! And the mining's already happening across the river, as has been previously mentioned. The mining that's going on in Texas and Oklahoma and Colorado is creating landslides and earthquakes. And there's even some reports that the water has been completely and permanently contaminated. It's no longer suitable for human consumption. We have tons of families coming from Colorado to our tiny town in Winona. Has there been an environmental impact statement on any of this silica sand mining? I'm not even talking about the fracking, which is horrible and uses thousands of chemicals that we don't do any long-term testing on. Has there been any EIS out there in the nation for mining silica sand? Isn't it time that we have one, regardless of the ban on Winona County? We're coming to our wits. The citizens are thinking about the common good and not one person's interest in becoming a millionaire. Yeah, alternative energy, that's what we need to think about. I come from generations of Minnesotans, my mom and my dad's side. My father was a military man. I've been to every state in this country more than once. And when we'd visit, my dad would make comparisons between their industry, their economy, their quality of living, even how the people behaved. He constantly compared to Minnesota. Minnesota always outpaced it. We always came ahead with the environment, with our deep thinking, forward thinking approaches to developing industry, to developing our economic system. We need to maintain that. We don't need to say, let's table this for 3 months and hear what the results are from the attorneys who are bickering. Speaking of which, I'd like to just reiterate a couple of things that blew me away, just blew me away today. And these are quotes, and I'm a pretty good note taker. I've got 20 years of experience working with academic researchers. The board asked Mr. Frick, so how will increasing 37 to 50 acres improve the reclamation? Do you remember his response? He didn't even approach what reclamation actually means. He said, so he can get all of it from the vein. It'll be more efficient mining. Is that what reclamation means? That we worry about how much he can get out of the earth? I don't think so. I think it means how do we try not to destroy the earth permanently, like most mining processes do? How do we maintain water quality? How do we maintain the quality of the air? Why are we taking up land that is beautiful agricultural potential land, whether it's wildflowers or wild foraging or agriculture? We're permanently removing it from making any kind of food production, which I understand is a problem. We need to think globally and act locally. Environmental quality means environmental integrity. We don't have to worry about what the judge is going to do on their appeal or whatever it is they're doing, because frankly, that was just giving me a headache. Yeah, we accomplished a ban. First time in the nation. And maybe our state won't be destroyed. Maybe our water will still be drinkable. That's what is important here.
Lynn, I'm going to ask you to try to bring it to a close,
okay,
if you would,
I will.
Please.
I will. So we won't talk about how they have absolutely no business plan. Hypothetically, nothing's going to happen. We don't know. So let's vote on that. Let's give that man some professional time. Due diligence. Owners of the Minnesota Sands refuse to be identified. Wow, our whole future's in their hands, and we don't even know who the hell the individuals are. Crazy. The Eric lawyer, Mr. You got a really cool middle name, but you're in the wrong business. He said there's no clarity on the actual acreage of the mining projects. The representative of this miner doesn't even know what the acreage involved. Oh my God, this is like a freaking zoo. Okay, one more thing. With my environmental science degree, an EAW, any Yahoo can do. Any Yahoo can dream it up. It could be 2 pages long. We need to rewrite our Constitution. The environmental impact statement is the only way to even think about environmental integrity, long-term use, sustaining the quality of life in our beautiful state of Minnesota. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Lynn. Ms. Nelson, Barb, from Lewiston, and you're representing your neighbors and yourself and your
yes,
family.
Yes, I am.
Welcome.
Yeah, and thank you for the opportunity to speak and for your service on the board. Certainly everything I intended to say has already been said.
Everyone hasn't said it yet.
Yeah. I'm here to make sure that you understand that the people of Minnesota care about their land health and their well-being. And you're charged with seeing that that happens. And I take that seriously. We ask that you consider the project in its entirety, because that's the effect that we're going to experience. We're going to feel it in its entirety, not just one little dabble over there by Bucksnort. Right? If you've traveled southeast Minnesota, you know we're all connected. Bucksnort's connected to Garvin Brook, is connected to Peterson Creek, is connected to the Arches, is connected to Lady Slipper Drive, which has a proposed 60-year frac sand mine within a stone's throw of my house. And I cared about this before they haven't actually applied, but they made their intentions known. That they intended to mine for 60 years? What does that make my property worth? I don't know if you know southeast Minnesota like I do, but I live on the banks of Peterson Creek, which is the north branch of Garvin Brook. Best trout fishing, in my knowledge, in the nation. I can attest to that. I can see them swimming right outside my kitchen window.
You buy a license, though. Right?
We don't eat them. Well, we just feed. When I'm gardening, I take a little bean can and throw worms in, and when I'm done gardening, my reward is to go out and feed the trout. It's really, it's important to me that it stays that way. We're all connected in southeastern Minnesota. We are the National Scenic Byway. We've been determined that this is one of the places in the nation that you want to visit. If you visited, you know how precious it is to us, and I'm sure it would be to you. So make a good decision, consider the project in its entirety, because, like I said, that's how it's going to affect us. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Nelson. That concludes the public comment, and Lynn, I'll always remember you. We are ready to have a board discussion. We do have a motion and a second on the table. So is there discussion on the motion? Seeing none, I'm not sure, are we required for, oh, Kate?
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I want to recognize, and I think it's probably been said, but so many folks who came out to talk about how much they value their community and our state, and I think it's really important. I actually have three generations of family in the ground in Fillmore County, so I do appreciate hearing from a lot of folks in that community, and I think this board really recognizes that our environmental laws only work when citizens decide to take the time and the effort to make them work, and so we as a state are indebted to you all who are willing to give up time and energy and resources to make sure that our environmental laws work. So I just want to state that before we take a vote as a board.
Amen.
Thank you, and I'm sure that Kate's comments reflect on all of our feelings here today. So thank you for speaking on behalf of the Environmental Quality Board, Kate. Other comments? We do have a motion, so you renew your motion.
I do.
I'll take a roll call vote.
All right. I'll do the roll call, and just to confirm, the motion is to table this issue until after March of 2018. And Ms. Idy Tollefson?
Yes.
Commissioner Ellinger?
Aye.
Commissioner Fredrickson?
Aye.
Ms. Gehring?
Yes.
Ms. Knuth?
Yes.
Commissioner Landwehr?
Aye.
Commissioner Mossman?
Yes.
Chairman Van Amberg?
Yes.
Commissioner Linkstein?
Yes.
Mr. Soxhog?
Yes.
Yep. Motion prevails.
Motion prevails. At this time, there is no further business to come before the board unless something is... No? So a motion to adjourn would be in order?
So move.
Is there a second? There is a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. The motion carried, and the meeting is adjourned.